You should have access to now see that your tenant is maintaining financial viability, because if once they sell the building, they decide to cut back, that may impair their ability to pay rent. So you have a right to ask for that information ahead of time.
Welcome to Surgeon Syndicate. If you're paying attention, you know that you only make money when you work. It might be great money, but it's dependent on you. The information on this podcast will help you solve that. We interview experts and provide analysis into financial freedom through commercial real estate. Why? To help physicians like you thrive. Let's dive in.
Welcome to Surgeon Syndicate. This is your host, Dr. Michael McManus. Thank you for joining us today. Today, we're going to be talking about sale leaseback arrangements. This is something that I had some people ask me about after it was on a previous episode. And I think because as doctors, there's a lot of time that the idea of owning your own real estate, especially if you're in private practice, owning your office, can be a very good move, because instead of paying rent out to somebody else, that expense is coming back to you. And it can be a way to build equity and add some assets to your financial portfolio. And a lot of the time over the course of a career, over a decade or over more, it can end up being a substantial amount of money back in your pocket that you would have paid out otherwise in rent. So when we talked about what people were asking me is, they're like, wait a minute, I thought it was a good thing to own your own building versus leasing to somebody else and paying rent out to somebody else. And so why would I want to sell my building to somebody and then lease it back and not get to keep that money, but paying it out in rent? So this is what the question is about, a sale leaseback. So sale leaseback is basically where a business owns the property that they're working out of, and they decide, I'm going to keep the business and I'm going to sell the property and lease that property back from a different owner. So why would they want to do this? And what are the benefits for it? Basically, overall, it's a unique blend of increasing your liquidity, but still keeping control over the property or your tenancy. And for somebody who's involved in the everyday financial planning, that's kind of the difference, is where is your money locked up and what can you do with it? And there may be different reasons that you want to make that money more liquid. So again, kind of back to define the sale leaseback transaction. So a sale leaseback involves selling, a business owner owns the business and the property, and they've decided to sell the property to an investor and then lease it back from the new owner on predetermined terms. So you're not selling it and then negotiating a lease. The negotiation of the lease and the sales price all comes together at the same time. This arrangement allows the original owner, be it if this is a medical practice, a retail business, or an industrial operator, to free up the capital tied up in the real estate while continuing to be in the same property. So you're not moving your business, but you get to free up the capital that you had tied up in the business. So what are the strategic advantages? Why would you want to do it? It's liquidity injection into the business. What could this liquidity be for? What have you needed for? Could be a business expansion, could be in unanticipated expenses, but having that money on hand, or you may have a period of time coming up that you may need money available and you just want to have that money available. So what other options could there be? You have that liquidity by having a line of credit where you can easily get to the money and borrow it. That comes with interest. So there's part of the consideration there. Would you rather be paying rent or paying interest? It all depends on the activity going on at the time. Why would somebody need this infusion of capital? It could be that you're expanding your business. You want to add a new business line within a medical practice. That could be adding some cash pay services that you need to buy some new equipment to offer. Or it could be services that are covered by insurance that you need to add new equipment. It could be if you've had a capital asset that's long lasting, but now needs replaced, like an x-ray machine, ultrasound doesn't last as long, but things like that. So now you have this expense coming in that you need capital for. It could also be a way of planning for retirement. If somebody's getting closer to retirement, they decide, you know what, I take some of my money out of my business and put it somewhere else, or even just as a way to diversify, that you don't want all your money in your business anymore. So these are some of the reasons why somebody would want to pull that liquidity out or their equity out of the business, but the business gets to keep operating just like it has. And that comes under the idea of operational continuity. And so the difference versus selling your building and signing a lease somewhere else is you get to stay in the same place. Your operations don't change. Your people don't have to change the way they work. You're staying in the same place. Also, balance sheet optimization. This is the idea of converting a fixed asset or an illiquid asset into a liquid asset so you can move that property off the balance sheet. And a lot of this, I'm going to admit, gets into some of the financial planning that I don't understand as well. And that's why you talk to your accountant. And there's a lot of things that we as doctors don't learn, that people learn in business school, that you may not have been exposed to. But it's an opportunity to ask your accountant and say, what are the risks and benefits of this? And because this is a nuanced situation, again, if your accountant can't give you some pros and cons, because there will always be pros and cons in this situation, and they're all in one direction, I think it's worth getting another opinion. It may be that it's pretty straightforward, that you don't have a need for that capital to put it somewhere else, and it's growing and making you more money being in your building that you own and paying rent to yourself. And it may be pretty clear cut, but it may be that there's somewhere else you can put this money and use it more efficiently. It may be that you're in a market that's very stable and your building is not appreciating, but there's another market down the road where you can go buy a medical office building and that building's going to appreciate more and earn you the same amount in profit or monthly payments as you're getting out of your rent in your own. The tax consequences, I should say, a lot of the time owning a building is more tax advantage because you're moving that expense out of being active income and into being more of a tax, more as a capital gain because it's coming through that real estate investment. This is another one, again, when it comes to the tax implications, talk to your accountants, find out why this would be worthwhile. So if you're looking at this from the other side, you're saying, you know what, I'm a doctor, I see the demand, maybe I want to buy a medical office building, or I want to buy a building from a doc who doesn't want to own his building anymore. He's sending 10 kids to college and he needs that liquidity injection to pay for college. What are the things I should be thinking about if I'm going to purchase a building with a sale lease back? So the biggest advantage of purchasing a sale lease back is you know who your tenant is. You don't have to go find a tenant and lease out the building. And that's all part of the negotiation when you buy it. You're signing the lease and the purchase agreements all at the same time. It's all part of one transaction, so you know you have the place leased. What are the risks? Tenant credit risk. Who is this tenant and how stable are they? And I would say if you're buying a medical office building, it's not just that there's demand for healthcare services, but how stable is the practice, the hospital, the doctor you're buying from? When it comes to look, we're not used to asking people to look inside their books as doctors, but as a real estate investor, you do need to ask that question and they should provide you that information. So if they're not going to open their books and show you how profitable their business is, if part of the lease agreement is not that you get to look inside their books on a quarterly basis or an annual basis, it depends how close you want to see it, but you should have access to now see that your tenant is maintaining financial viability, because if once they sell the building, they decide to cut back, that may impair their ability to pay rent. So you have a right to ask for that information ahead of time. Things to consider: the market and the location risk. So again, I think where we're at in healthcare, if you're looking at medical office building example, again, is we know there's a market for it, but just because it's healthcare doesn't mean that every healthcare market is good. We all know as doctors, your payer mix matters. So what are the customers like? And it's the same thing if you're looking outside of medical office space. Who are the customers of the business that you're buying this building from? If they've got a long-term contract with the federal government, building boats for the Navy, probably a pretty good tenant. Sometimes those contracts get pulled. So there's a little bit of their understanding, maybe the politics. Is this something that politically that could get pulled or politically is unlikely to get pulled? What other businesses are they in? Are they in the oil business in an area that's boom and bust? They might be making great money right now, but in 5 years, that may close up shop. Or they had something that's been rock solid and that when you look in their books, they've been making the same money for decades. They're stable. They're going up. Those are some of the things that you want to know about their market. The location, again, is part of the market. If you're investing close to home, you've got inside information. You understand how stable the market is in this city. I mean, I grew up in the West and oil and gas was a big part of the economy when I was a kid. And you would see it come and go. In the 70s were a boom. The 80s went down. And then we moved to Green Bay. And so much of the market here is based on the paper industry, on cardboard boxes and toilet paper. And that's pretty stable. But if somebody were making newspaper, that might be different. And that's more just understanding, like with any real estate investment. So you want to know when you're the sale leaseback, again, is this something that's going to keep going stable? Or are they trying to pull their money out because they know something's going downhill? The lease that you're buying. And this, again, is if you're new to investing and you haven't looked at a lot of commercial leases, find somebody who has. Find a broker who's a leasing agent, who's not just the one who's selling this deal. Your banker can usually put you in touch with somebody to look at the lease if they're not familiar with it, or a lawyer who specializes in commercial leases. Very worthwhile to have them look at the lease, evaluate the lease, and tell you, is this a good lease from the standpoint of the person buying the property? Next one, and this is like any building you buy, property condition and maintenance obligations. So just like when you're buying a house, does it need a new roof? Does it have leaky plumbing? Does it have bad windows? What kind of a building are you buying? And also in the lease, what are the maintenance obligations? So if it's a sale leaseback and it comes with a triple net lease, that means your tenant is still responsible for taking care of everything in the building. They're responsible for all the maintenance versus are they selling it and now the landlord is responsible for the maintenance? That's not necessarily a bad thing. It just adds to the complexity. If they're paying a lot higher rent, but you're responsible for the maintenance and you have trusted people to inspect the building that you're, you know, it's got 20 years of roof left on it. It's got brand new HVAC. It's completely up to date and unlikely to need a lot of work. That could be a better deal. But if they're selling you a building that's got a lot of deferred maintenance or has a lot of high capital expenditure stuff coming due, that needs to be built into your underwriting of the building, just like buying any other building. And one of the concerns here, if a building has not been maintained meticulously, is the person you're buying it from has a very strong knowledge of what's going on in that building. And are they forthcoming with you? If they walk through the building with you and they know every last thing and they're pointing it all out, going, this is going to need fixed and that is coming on you, just make sure that's all put in the deal. It may be they just don't want to deal with it and they want to sell the building and have the landlord take care of this new maintenance so they can focus on their business and they're willing to pay a great rent to just move that off of their plate so they can focus on other things. So again, it's not that a lot of this is good or bad, but that you understand it's there and you put it into your projections. So the last part of the sale-leaseback, regulatory and tax implications. We talked about tax. From a regulatory standpoint, is understanding, and again, the person you're buying from, if they've been operating in this area for a while, should know these things and should be willing to share it with you. If this is somebody you want to, you're basically going into business with, you're buying their building, they're leasing from you. What is the regulatory environment like? If you're buying a building in another town, another state, are there concerns with regulation in the business that they're in? If they're in manufacturing and you have a state that's starting to put a lot more regulations on manufacturing and environmental restrictions, or it's an area that's being gentrified and maybe doesn't like having what they do there anymore. Are there any changes like that coming down the road that you need to be aware of? So if you're from outside of the area where you're buying it, again, do the research, find some people who understand what's going on in this market. Some of these risks are always great. If the loan is being done, often if the loan's being done by a local bank of wherever the property is, that bank is sharing your risk. And so they're a good resource for looking at a lot of the other things that are going on. Now, if no bank wants to touch this deal with a 10-foot pole, is always a reason for concern that they know something. Now, in today's market, banks get ish about a lot of different things, and it may just be outside of their focus, but usually there will be some bank that's focused on almost every aspect, but not always. But again, if you can't get a loan on the building, really listen to the bank's concerns. So in conclusion, sale leasebacks, again, are basically an arrangement where the existing business owner owns the business and the property, and they've decided to sell the property and lease it back. It's all done in one transaction that signs off all at the same time. Biggest advantage is you know you have a tenant. You don't have to lease it out. The risks we went through all have to do with the same risks of any other commercial real estate transaction of evaluating the property and the tenant. The reason we went into this again today is I've talked to a lot of doctors. They thought that it was hands down always the best option to own your own building. It's not always that way. And typically what the tenant's looking to do is they feel like they can get better returns by taking that cash out of their building and putting it in the business than by having that cash stuck in the business. So thank you for joining us today here on Surgeon Syndicate. I hope this has added some value. If you have questions or you want to discuss these things further, please reach out to us. Or even if you just have questions about starting and investing in commercial real estate, if you don't call me, start talking to some people out there, to some operators, have the conversations. You're going to feel better every conversation and more comfortable with starting down this path of commercial real estate investing. And so again, thanks for being here. Join us again on Surgeon Syndicate. This has been an episode of Surgeon Syndicate. If you found value in this episode, no other surgeons are hungry to become job optional. You can help them by sharing this content today. I also want to serve you better, so I want to offer you two things. Number one, I'll be able to give you the content in an even better way if you can take a moment and leave an honest review of the show explaining what you like and what you don't. And number two, if you are a surgeon and serious about this, you don't want to do this on your own because you don't want to make mistakes with your money. I'd be happy to help. Schedule a call. We can make a plan. Looking forward to having you with me on the next episode.